have a lot of things we want to be in prayer about tonight. Went on Sunday evening to Dan Hill, and we had a wonderful time. They are in constant prayer. So as we think about our prayer and tonight, in regard to other local assemblies that are in prayer for you, there is, of course, Dan Hill, and Dan's church is Southwood, and that is in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And then there's Rod Becker, and that's Grace Haven. That's Grace Haven Bible Church in Houston. And John Hint, and that's in Tucson. That's in Tucson, Arizona. Tucson Bible Church, TBC. And let's see, be in prayer for these other people, Drew Freeman, Charles Stanley needs our prayers, and just assemblies that, that understand teaching truth. Let's be in prayer for them. Let's see, maybe Wes. I don't think anyone else dates this far back. Jim will, Cecilia maybe, but years and years ago, wonderful family, it's got our church, and over time the daughters have married, moved, all this kind of thing, but Bobby Flowers used to play the piano for us, and Jean Flowers, the mother, would come to the church for a long time. I was a member of Jean Flowers. Well, she died yesterday, and be in prayer for the family and of Jean Flowers and her husband, Bob Flowers, and Bob is a born-again believer, and the three daughters and family, and so let's be in prayer. James Webb married to one of the girls for some time, and he has some daughters that are related to Jean Flowers. So be in prayer for the whole family, all of the hurts that go. Even though we sorrow, or we know that she's in heaven, we do sorrow, but not as the world sorrows, but we do sorrow. So please be in prayer for Bob Flowers and the family. Don't need to be in prayer for Jean. She's well taken care of. Wonderful note, and maybe I should do more reading of our little notes from our tapers, but as encouragement, but got a wonderful note from one of our tapers, Harry and Betty Soup, S-H-O-U-P. Please tell Herman we appreciate his teaching so very much. We are having serious financial difficulties on our farm. David can understand that problem. Difficult. All of us can understand financial problems, but David can understand financial problems on the farm. And his teaching on faith and trust has been most meaningful to us. We thank you for your prayers, and if you would continue to remember us in prayer. We are praying for Herman, his congregation, that's you, those he is reaching through the tape ministry and other avenues. After we've listened to Herman tapes, they are then passed along to others and given the opportunity to listen to his teaching also. Our problem, it seems, overwhelms us at times, and then doesn't seem to be there doesn't seem to be a solution. But with God, nothing is impossible. Thanks again for your prayers and your teaching on faith. Harry and Betty, so we'll put them on the tapers. This is Harry and Betty. And this is S-H-O-U-P. S-H-O-U-P. Where do they live? What state? Okay, somewhere in the United States.
Midwest.
And so let's be in prayer. She says, we have an unsaved Catholic daughter-in-law who needs your prayers. She didn't give us a name, but God knows her name. And so let's remember the unsaved. So they're in a finance problem. Finance here, and then there's an unsaved daughter-in-law, and that's the great burden. This one is far greater than this one. This one's eternal, and this one's easy. This one's eternal. And so it's being prayer for the unsaved daughter-in-law, and that whatever God must do to bring her to a face-to-face with the realization of eternity and a relationship with Him through the gospel. So let's be in prayer in regard to the soups, and soups, I guess, would be the huh? Soups, the soups, and let's be in prayer for them and at this time. And then we have another in our own family, very important prayer request, and I'm going to let Larry tell you about it.
For some possibly serious criminal and job security issues tomorrow morning. And I know what that means. First job, so it
doesn't matter. Okay. So this is tomorrow. This is tough. Let's be in prayer. Here's a good time. Here's a good time. Let me ask you people something. What do we want to pray for Jeff? We pray for Leah and her health. Pray for Leah to be an encouragement and love to her husband. What are we going to pray for Jeff? That he'll continue in faith. Continue trusting God. Spiritual and physical strength. And please don't ever forget that one. A little story paper in the book we have in the foyer, you'll read the last chapter, he talks about how a lot of times people assess a spiritual problem when it's really physical. They just don't take care of themselves, and they're tired. He did a lot of this with the seminary students, I understand. You know, they get tired, and the message, and we think a lot is going on when really it's just not taking care of ourselves physically. But spiritual, first of all, trusting God in this whole issue, that all things will work together for good, spiritual and physical strength. What else? I'm sorry? Protection. This is where we learn how to pray. And all of these are correct and good. Protection. 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 From? Huh? No, protection from. Protection of. Protection by the Holy Spirit, the plan of God. Protection from? The demonic forces, the forces of darkness. He's in a spiritual battle. He's in a spiritual battle. And things are going on in his soul, his wife's soul, his family, we don't know about. And he's now in the battle. All right? So protection from that. Protection from lies. Protection from mental attitude sins of others. So we have that he'll trust God, spiritual and physical strength, protection. What else? Very important, if you've ever been in this kind of situation, is What did James say if you do what? If you pray for what? In chapter 1? Huh? Wisdom. Wisdom. Very difficult, because when the boss and people want to set you up, they can ask a question that he's being accused of, and I will tell you something, you answer it one way, it's taken another, and you just slit your throat, and you didn't even know it, and you didn't mean it the way they worded it, what they did with it. This is crucial. Let me tell you something. You're standing there, and these people are asking questions. This is crucial. Wisdom. Discernment. That's the concept. Wisdom, discernment. Wisdom to, should he take someone in there with him tomorrow? Silence. What is the answer? How does he answer? Just wisdom in this whole thing. He's going to have it. It's very important. So we have trust in God. It gives you the faith aspect. This is so good for our prayer time. The faith aspect in trusting God, when you're in this kind of dilemma, let's talk about this, because it's not a nebulous concept. What happens when you do this? What I'm looking for, I'll just tell you. What I'm looking for is, if we're doing this, there's an inner peace. People, I don't even know how to begin to tell you about that inner peace. You know it when you have it, and you know when you don't, when you're in this kind of deal. And I mean, you can have hurt and pressure and so many things going on, but way down in there, when you're doing this, there's an inner peace that's so necessary. Because when you have that, there's no fear. When you have that love, when you have that inner peace, the fear is set aside. And fear is powerful. Here's a man, a husband, a father, and they're buying a home, all these things, and they told you, how long have you been with the company? Huh? 7 years of his life work, and it's all on the line. It can all be on the line tomorrow. That's awesome. We need to pray. That's what a body is about. That's what friends are about. So these are the things, the good things for us to do this tonight. Just take them up. When you're trusting God, see, this allows the Holy Spirit. We're talking about protection. It allows the Holy Spirit to do His work in you. That inner peace, that stability, that self-control. It's so easy. When we get back and we go to finish up all the fruit of the Spirit, self-control is so important, because you'll want to laugh. You want to laugh at the accuser. You want to laugh at the authority. You want to laugh, and it's just you're wrong. You're wrong, and why are you there? You want to laugh, but when you have that spirit-filled life, people, the fruit of the Spirit, what the Spirit gives, the gifts of the Spirit, is that inner peace and that self-control. And with that self-control, we can now think. And I have this wisdom. But if I'm in fear, anger, unfair, this is unfair. If you go in with all of that kind of thinking, you're not going to have this. And you're not going to have that. You've got to lay the unfairness alone. You've got to lay, this is wrong. And God, why are you doing? You've got to lay that aside now. And you're on you're called in. And you've just got to, I trust you. I trust you. So that no matter what happens here, no matter what happens, I can't lose. I'm in your plan. You're in control. And I've got to accept that. If I'm fired, you're in control. If I'm not, you're in control. So whatever happens, it's not like if I'm fired, then you've forsaken me, God. No. I trust you. And there's the inner peace and self-control now in saints. The protection, this is God's power. God's got to do this. Totally apart from him. It has nothing to do with him. God is going to do this. But these are things that we pray in regard to his relationship with God here. His relationship with his wife. Her relationship with him. What a wonderful help she can be. Strength, encouragement, companionship, just being there. What she can do here. So, and what we can do in our prayer. Touch this whole thing in that regard. Anything else? In regard to how we pray. So, this is good. When people have problems, what are we going to pray for different people? And these are the things that we're going to be in prayer about. So this is important. Okay, any other prayer requests here? Don't say, well, mine, boy, I did have a request, but forget it. Man, I mean, up against that, I don't think I'm going to pray about my garage door not working. And don't do that. You've got one that's yours, yes. Leslie, yes. Need to continue to be in prayer for Leslie and Jerry. Need to be in prayer. Need to be in prayer for Cliff. We've been in prayer about Cliff's job. He goes in for a big interview. They're calling him back, and it's an important interview a week from today. Let's be in prayer in regard to Cliff trusting God. Be in prayer in regard to the people that have to make the decisions about employment. We've got a lot to be in prayer in regard to Cliff and his job situation. Any other requests? Do you know what? That's embarrassing because I don't know. And I will find out. Hopefully before tomorrow night I will be able to say. That's a good question. Yeah, Christina Stock. You be in prayer for her. Okay, anything else? Yes. Okay. This week. Okay. Jan Reed. Any others? Yes. Bless her heart. She's really having a lot of trouble. Okay. By the way, I need to see you after class. Okay. So we need to be in prayer about Mary and her health. What do we pray in regard to someone's health? Get better? See what God is doing in my life? See what, our first thing is, Father, let them get better. Okay, that's right, and that's an all right prayer. But there are no accidents in the plan of God. So when things happen to us physically, they're just different things. It's not always bad, and it's not always good. It's just what's God doing here in my life and those around me. So need to be in a really serious type of prayer in that regard. All right, did somebody over here have their hand up? Yeah. Yes, there's Ron. It's Ron and Nancy Anderson. He has. I'm sorry. Yes, they're moving over to Tyler. A lot of prayer, and he's just getting weaker sometimes. So need to be in prayer for Ron and Nancy. Anything else? Yes. Tony? Is Tony a believer? Okay. Be in prayer for Tony. What God is doing in his life and those around him. Be in prayer. Okay? Anything else? You know Gentle Bear. Gentle Bear needs our prayer. Jim had a virus get into his neck, and it's serious, and it causes a lot of paralysis on one side. So we need to be in prayer for Jim, for Bear, and what God is doing in his life, for recovery, but what God is doing in his life. Anything else? Okay, let's approach the throne of grace together as an assembly of believers. We have a great deal to be in prayer overtly and silently. I put them on the board so that you can just look up and reflect on these. Let me remind you that all of us here need prayer. We're all in this family, this local assembly. Everybody didn't raise a hand. What's going on in their soul and their life, but we all need prayer in various areas, and we all know that. We don't always have to know. I don't have to know what every one of you, your individual circumstances, but it is not in any way a hidden secret to me. Every one of the people in this assembly need our prayer. So we need to be in prayer for each other. We need to be in prayer for our outreach. We need to be in prayer for James Webb and West Tuttle as they continue to orchestrate some of the most beautiful worship on Sunday. Getting some wonderful response from tapers that listen. It's just beautiful. So we need to be in prayer for each other. And without knowing all of the details in regard to each other's life. So let's post the throne of grace together in prayer. That's right. Okay, a few moments we have left here tonight. Did everybody get a copy of the Spirit of Christ? Does anybody not have one? Okay. In TPs, what we did, we ordered 50 of them, got a discount on it, and then one of the members came up and said, I want to cover it. And so they've been covered, and we're going to put the rest of them out in the foyer, and they're just... it's one of the better books. Pat Costello does a lot of reading, and I really love Pat. She's so delicate. I don't know if it's maybe the perception of me, maybe it's the past perception of me, but she came up and she said, "Now," she said, This just goes right in with what you're teaching, and it just confirms, and she's called, but not that I need to have what you're teaching confirmed, it's just, and I said, hey, wait a minute, yes we do, don't minimize that, yes we do have to have it confirmed. This is what happens through all of the Old Testament people. He confirms his word, he confirms what he did, over and over in many different ways. And yes, it is encouraging, especially, a lot of places that I would go, I'd have just virtually no problem, and I wouldn't have to deal with a great deal about spirituality by faith. Some places you go, and you have, boy, it's the center of the battle. Other places, hey, well, how else would it be? And no problem at all. So it is comforting, and this is a great book. Andrew Murray, let me tell you about Andrew Murray. We didn't study him in school. Let me tell you why we didn't study Andrew Murray in school. Because he's not a theologian. He's not a scholar. We studied scholars, some of them weren't even believers, but they were scholars. A lot of them didn't even begin to come near the truth, but they were scholars, so we had to study them. We didn't study men like this. We didn't study men like James Vernon McGee. He's not a scholar, and yet he leads thousands to the Lord through his ministry and his teaching. Andrew Murray is a missionary, and out in the field of battle. He was born circa 1814, something like that, and died 19, maybe he was born circa 1824 and then died in 1910, something like that. Anyway, most of the 19th century. And just a phenomenal, look at the table of content. with me just a moment. And you know, maybe you don't have to read it, but if you're a reader, it's just a fabulous book in going through a lot of things that we're seeing and that we're studying. And you can just read through a new spirit, God's spirit, baptism spirit, worship in the spirit. Go down toward the end, and you have chapter 28, walking in the spirit of love. By the way, chapter 27, the spirit through faith. Boom. Don't tell me that nobody else teaches this. A lot of people teach it and have taught it. Filled with the spirit. And just some tremendous pages back here in regard to his teaching. If you will, look at page 266. If you will. 266. By the way, those of you on tapes, we're talking about the book, The Spirit of Christ, by Andrew Murray. Let me let these tapers know. They have a shortened edition of this. I don't recommend you get it because the longer one has things like what I'm going to read right now, and it's just a more powerful one. So, The Spirit of Christ, the longer version by Andrew Murray. There's a short version and the longer version, which we have here. But if you look at page 266, note 15, Trusting the Spirit. And I just want to pick up, if you look over a couple of pages on page 271, just to give you an idea what your appetite of the dimension and the just unbelievable impact of this book, and you think I probably listened to his tapes or read the book first, but it's just so wonderful to know other people have seen the same truth so often. But look at, if you will, what would be considered technically the second paragraph. It starts in quotes, the reason. Let's read that. The reason so few Christians realize these things is that they do not have the same definite trust in the work of the Holy Ghost. Now, you've got to remember when this was written, and the two schools, don't let that alarm you, the work of the Holy Ghost as they have in the work of Christ. Now, let's read this. They do not have the same definite trust in the work of the Holy Ghost as they have in the work of Christ. We must be Trinity believers, realizing all that Christ has provided for us by his work. But we are in the economy, dispensation, we are in the economy of the Holy Spirit. And so long as we do not honor the Holy Spirit, we cannot be practical Christians. That's powerful. This whole book is really powerful, and I commend it to your reading. Just maybe a chapter every night or so, or every other night or something, whatever fits your momentum. And when I do that kind of thing, let me make a statement. About when you recommend a book, okay, you're reading along and you find some statement on some page that, let's just say, it's wrong, it's not what we teach, it's not what you've been taught, it's not what you believe, so therefore, let's chunk the whole book. This is not the Bible. This is not the Bible. There may be things you don't agree with. But just take the momentum of what he's saying. And if something he says really offends you, take a black marker and mark it out. It's not the Bible. So don't be so inflexible that you can't read what he's saying, what he's doing with the momentum of his work because of a few things. I recommended Charles Stanley's book, The Wonderful Spirit-Filled Life, and still do. Oh, but he says, pray to the Holy Spirit, and boy, I don't agree with that, and throw that out. That's so narrow. You're gonna find yourself a lot of trouble doing that. You gotta be able to take this book, a book like this, and see where this man's thinking is, especially remember, over 100 years ago, he wrote the thing. And this is trusting the Holy Spirit has been going on throughout, even the very beginning, but definitely the beginning of the church age. So I just want you to have it in your hands. And as I said, we'll put it in, put the rest, the remainder of them in the foyer. And as they go, we'll, if the response is good, we'll order some more. And we're getting ready to get into some of our own publication and do some work in that regard ourselves. So be in prayer about that. Okay, let's open God's Word. 1 John. 1 John. Oh boy, I can't wait till we start on spiritual love on Wednesday nights here coming up. But right now, let's just get our momentum going again in 1 John. And 1 John chapter 1. And now, people, what we're dealing with in 1 John, again, is fellowship. Not relationship, but fellowship. Remember, as far as the gospel model, here's the gospel model. And in the gospel model, we have on the left side, we have the unbeliever, right side believer. And on the left side, this is how we establish relationship with God, and that is by faith. By faith in the one that he sent, and he sent his son, Jesus Christ. And by faith in Christ, we have eternal relationship with God and Jesus Christ. Eternal. You cannot lose that relationship. But on the right side of the model, now we're coming to the issue of fellowship. Fellowship. And this is extremely important throughout all of the Word of God. Like if you just take the whole flow of the Bible, I hope you understand how important fellowship is to God. That we, you, have fellowship with Him. And this is what kind of a this is what kind of God, when you make witness, what kind of God do you have? What do you tell about? What is your witness of your God? And the witness of our God is, this is what He desires. He desires fellowship with us. And people, can you kind of get a feel of this whole book? All that He's done so that He can have this fellowship, He sent His Son. He sent His Son to die on a cross that we can have it. And He sent His Holy Spirit to each one of us so we can have it. This is what He's done. This is how important it is. And the great intrusion of fellowship is sin. Sin always breaks fellowship. And, you know, a lot of people that do this jumping up and down and screaming and hollering about sin, it isn't really even from the standpoint of fellowship. They're just on a big, righteous kick. And this is the big deal with them about sin. And, boy, if you sin, it just, and they start judging, and they start maligning, and they start talking, and they want to let everybody know that you sin, and what you've done, and how horrible you are. if we study, and we are, what God says about this, people, is this. It breaks fellowship, and fellowship is more important than this, therefore I've taken care of it on the cross. I've already set up the basis of cleansing and forgiving. You're already cleansed and forgiven. It's made it very, and this irritates legalist, self-righteous people. He's made it very easy to reestablish fellowship. He's made it very easy throughout His Word. And this irritates a lot of people because that allows people to sin. That fosters sin. That's what Paul said. He's attacked that way. I'm accused of teaching that we sin, that grace abounds. I don't teach that. That's not my point, Paul said. But what God is saying here is, yes, this is bad, and it breaks fellowship, so I'm going to take care of it so that because this is more important. Now, that's where I want to word this. Fellowship is more important to God than your sin. He wants fellowship. This is what He desires. And sin breaks it, so He's taking care of the way. And it irritates a lot of people that He's taking care of the way and made it so easy to reestablish fellowship. Now, what a lot of people want is when people get involved in sin, they want separation. They want to judge. They want to separate. They want to malign. They do a lot of things in their self-righteousness, all because of this sin. But what we read in the Word of God is that this is what I want. This is more important, is fellowship. Because people, let's face the fact, he could separate from all of us in a minute, second, and be right in doing so. But he said, no, I want fellowship. So I've taken care of the sin problem. You ever wanted fellowship with someone and they didn't want you to have it, or they didn't want you to do it? It's the most difficult thing in the world. You want to reach out your hand and they, no. It's a horrible place to be when you desire fellowship with someone and they say no. And what we have with God is, he said, I desire fellowship with you. Don't say no. And the way we say yes is by our act of faith. By our act of faith, we accept his easy way of doing it, just as we accept his easy way of salvation. This is why a lot of people don't like our teaching of the gospel. It's too easy. That's too easy. It can't be that way. But understand, one, it can't be any other way, but I'm dealing with the fellowship way. What God wants. And it boggles your mind. God, desire a relationship, fellowship with that little, weak, nothing homo sapiens. That, as Satan calls it, that worm. That maggot. And God said, I desire fellowship. This is why in our relationship, see, we have fellow relationship with God in 1 John chapter 1. First few verses, with God and members of the Godhead, Jesus Christ, God the Father, the Holy Spirit, and with each other. But what happens in fellowship with each other? In fellowship with each other, if sin comes along, people say, I can't handle that. I cannot handle this sin. Therefore, I've got to be righteous, I've got to judge, I've got to separate, you sin, I've got to judge, I've got to malign, I've got to do all of these things. I've got to separate, because, boy, I can't trust you. I can't trust you. So therefore, I'm separating. But what does the Word of God say our relationship with each other is based on? In marriage, in family, in a local assembly, it's based on love. You know what I've discovered? When you build a relationship on this word, trust, it weakens you. It weakens you. Now watch this. This is why so many people, when, you know, the historical obvious, one of the spouses has been involved in infidelity, or somebody's hurt in some big way that they trusted, they've got to go to therapy, they've got to read books, they've got to do. What's happened to them? Trust weakens them. Trust depends. You got this other person over here, makes a big issue out of me, out of you. I trusted you. Let me show you something, people, that I've been realizing and we're going to see. Love strengthens you. Trust in man weakens you. Trust in God strengthens you. Trust in man weakens you. When they fail you, boom. Love strengthens. Think about what we're going to go back to. What does it say about love? Long suffering. It strengthens. You build a relationship on love. The very thing of spiritual love is it is given to us is the command of fellowship to strengthen. Yeah, but what about when people sin? What does love do? Repeat it in the Word of God. It covers a multitude of sins. Why does it do that? Why does love cover a multitude of sins, people? Is it making light of sin? No. Why does love cover a multitude of sin? Because this is more important. The relationship, the fellowship, the mission is far more important. But if I'm going to build it on righteousness, which the Word of God does not say we do, if this will separate, this will judge, this is what James is dealing with, those who judge harshly by the law. But love, as we're going to find out, it strengthens. It doesn't weaken. See, a lot of people think, and this is why I've got to teach it. Because a lot of people, oh, love, love. Well, love always weakens and sloppy and all of that. No, people, no, 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 no. If we biblically understand love, it strengthens. Love is long-suffering. Love is not jealous. Love is not arrogant. Watch this, what's coming up. Love bears all things. Bears all. Trust can't bear all things. That cannot be said of trust. Trust cannot bear all things, because when you let trust down, that's it. Trust collapses. Trust cannot bear anything except upholding that trust. Love? Love will bear all things without weakening itself. That's some wonderful things to study about love. Things that I'm glad the Holy Spirit led me to lay off, as long as we've laid off on it now. And now I get back to it. This is what strengthens. It strengthens you, and it strengthens the relationship. So we've got to understand fellowship in our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. This is easy. He forgives. He cleanses. Like that. And you're right back into it. He's like the father of the prodigal son. He's standing there. The son didn't get a lecture. Well, you no good bum. I mean, you come back because those women you've been with and those friends that took all your money, and you're just a bum. And I knew it. Well, you're going to have to work your way back then into this family. So the first, 6 months, you're going to live in the barn. And then we might let you in the cellar. And then we'll just about. Now, what does father do? Put the robe on him. Kill the fatted calf. But most Christians are like the other brother. Doesn't deserve it. The brother doesn't deserve that. No, he sure doesn't. But to see people, what is God doing in 1 John? People, we understand. We're not minimizing sin. Sin breaks fellowship. Breaks fellowship between you and God, you and others. There's no doubt about it. What we're dealing with is, this is the objective, though. And this is why you go from a discussion on sin, which breaks it, and then you go to a discussion on love in chapters 2, 3, and 4, and the issue of love in this fellowship. But we've got to take care, in the first part, John says, got to take care of this, because it does break it, and it is important, it is an issue, but let's put it into its proper perspective. What did God do about it? He took it away from being an issue. But what Christians want to do is we want to come back and put it back in and being an issue. I know where I'm headed. I know I'm going to be criticized for this teaching. But you know what? I've learned I don't care. I trust Him. This is truth. I've learned things about spiritual love in the Word of God that is just boggling in my mind. Dan and I talked a little bit about this. I won't say some things you said. It sounds like I'm, patting myself on the back. But we have just begun to tap into this thing of spiritual love. With all the study we've done, we're just beginning to tap in. I didn't realize before to word it that way. This strengthens a person. Most people think love always weakens. People, well, with love, you become sloppy and you do this and you do that. No, the spiritual love strengthens your soul, strengthens your soul, your life, your relationship. Trust will break it down. Trust will destroy relationships. Trust will cause you to react. Trust will cause you to hate, become bitter. I'm talking about trusting others. I'm not talking about trusting God. But I'm going to talk about trusting God, because what would happen to any of us if God lets you trust down? What if we found out God lied? Why do you think all through the Bible He says, I am a God who does not lie? A God who can be trusted. Because He knows what I'm saying right here. This, if you build a relationship on this, boy, the person you're trusting better be infallible. And that's what God is. So that's why trust is directed toward God. But nowhere in this book are we to build a relationship with each other on trust. Nowhere. We're to build it on love. And this is tough. Why? Because it is human nature to build a relationship on trust. It's human nature. I want to be able to trust you. Now, parentheses for my critics. Like Paul had to. I'm not teaching that sin abounds, Paul said. That grace abounds, so we sin. So for my critics, I'm not teaching that we should be untrustworthy. See, if a person is going to attack me, they're attacking not what I'm teaching. They're not hearing. This does not teach you should be untrustworthy. Because I want to show you something. If you do love, you will be trustworthy. So be careful with the criticisms. But the point is, trust will weaken. Love will strengthen. This is what we're dealing with. It's the love of God. This is what we're dealing with. So our passage deals with this. And we had a wonderful time in prayer. And I'm very thankful for the prayer. Please don't forget the names and people and circumstances that have come up in your own private prayer time tonight, tomorrow, and the time being prayer for Jeff and for others in our assembly. And tomorrow night we'll just come right in and get right to our study. And let's close in a word of prayer together. Heavenly Father, we stand amazed at what manner of God you are, that you would want a relationship and then a fellowship with us, a desire of fellowship when we are in sin. You saved us, you put your Son on the cross. My goodness, wouldn't we be grateful enough never to sin? But we do. And we just stand amazed at what manner of God you are. We come face to face as we allow the Holy Spirit to cause us to understand what's happening, what's going on in regard to fellowship and sin, that you would still want to have fellowship with us. Human beings don't. They fail miserably, they don't want to. But you're a God who, even when we're in the carnal, in darkness, even when we're in that pigsty as the prodigal son, you desire fellowship, and you've made it so easy, so easy to come back to you, to have and continue that fellowship with you. And therefore, Father, if it means and fits this level of importance in the whole plan of salvation to you, we pray, Father, that it will happen to us individually in this assembly, that we will become more and more desires of a moment-by-moment fellowship with you and then with each other, that we might, Heavenly Father, fulfill our mission and destiny individually and corporately as an assembly of believers. Thank you so much, the members of this assembly, for the gifts that are here, the opportunities that you make available. Praise you, Heavenly Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen.